cheerful. Part three. One, two, three. Summer Buddy Holly, the working folly, good golly Miss Molly and boats. Hammersmith Pally, the Bolshoi Bally, jump back in the alley, and nanny goats. 18-wheeler scammels, Dominica camels, all other mammals plus equal boats. Seeing Piccadilly, Fanny Smith and Willie, being rather silly, and porridge oats. A bit of grin and bear it, a bit of come and share it. You're welcome, we can spare it. Yellow socks, too short to be haughty, too nutty to be naughty. Going on 40, no electric shots. The juice of the carrot, the smile of the parrot, a little drop of claret, anything that works. Elvis and Scotty, days when I ain't spotted, sitting on the potty, curing smallpox. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. One, two, three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Health service glasses, gigolos and brasses, round or skinny bottoms. Take your mum to Paris, lighting up the chalice, wee Willie Harris. Andrew Stephen Beacle, listening to Rico, Harper Groucho Chico. Cheddar cheese and pickle, the Vincent motorcycle, slap and tickle. Woody Allen Darley, Dimitri and Pasquale, Bala 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 and Valari. Sunday nights to study, phoning up a buddy, being in my nuddy. Saying okie dokie, sing along a smoky, coming out a chokey. John Coltrane soprano, Eddie Celentano, Bona Carino. Reasons to be cheerful, part three. Reasons to be cheerful, part three. Reasons to be cheerful, part three. Reasons to be cheerful, one, two, three. Yes, dear, dear, perhaps next year, or maybe even never. In which case? We'll be right back.
chances are we're still working on the theme song.
This is great. How did you get this on? Oh.
Sweetie Ortiz said possibly we could use their song, but I still haven't heard back from their manager slash lawyer.
That was Speedy Ortiz with the Sportsy Talk theme song.
Thank you, Speedy Ortiz. That was pretty fabulous. What was that, 30 seconds?
It was exactly 30 seconds.
You know what?
What happened?
Did I do this right? Maybe.
Yes.
Yes, you're going to say yes. Okay,
is
good.
Is that a pig?
That is the pigs feeding at the trough of the marathon. All the money. No,
I thought
Billy
we could
Jam-
raise more money if it was called the marathon.
Billy Jam says marathon.
I
marathon. So yeah, this was. Thank you, everyone who pledged, and thanks for my enormous hangover. You were in a Taco Bell last night in a monkey outfit, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah,
there was some video of that.
Is
showing
there?
My monkey nipple
in a Taco Bell.
In a Taco Bell.
That's right.
That
scary.
Is just not sanitary.
No, that's not good. Well, you had these weird monkey mitts on your hands.
Yeah, those
too.
Are. I don't know what those are for.
They were. Soaking urine by the end of the night.
Well, I don't know.
There
was like soap on them.
Yeah, that was bad. I don't know what was going on with those, but it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. What was that beer? I shouldn't have had that second one.
Tyski.
Yeah, Tyski pushed me over the edge. That was.
It's a pretty intense Polish beer.
Oh, should I say hello, everybody? Nice seeing you again. Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
We have a special guest today.
Yeah, we do have a special guest. She's here in the studio. She is a sportsy journalist and author, and her name is Jill Carol Wiener. We will be talking to her a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
First, we're going to say that was Ian Dury and the Blockheads singing Reasons to Be Cheerful. We are cheerful.
People took to that very well. They want reasons to be cheerful.
We're cheerful because I think we're going to keep WFMU alive for another year.
We're still here. We're
still on the air, so that's good. We're about $5,000 away from making the entire WFMU goal. So you can still pledge. And if you pledge and dedicate it to this show, and you pledge $75 or more, you get our foam finger, which is pretty awesome.
Well, I wrote our last episode featured, we raised our the amount of money we wanted to raise, and therefore we burned a pocket
we
of
burned
Mr. Met.
Mr. Met. That was a dream come true for me.
Of which there is some video. Well,
you can see all the video. You can see us destroying the Pixies song "Monkey Gone to Heaven."
I thought we did a pretty good job.
You were in a monkey suit and you were drunk. You don't know.
I almost fell off the stage.
It was fantastic.
There's a tail.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get used to like walking with a tail.
No.
And then, I don't know, you're going up an escalator. I almost fell down the escalator at Exchange Place.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I wrote a letter this week to Mr. Met because there was a lot of Mets fans that were upset that we burned Mr. Met.
I didn't get a single email from anyone who was upset.
Gottschalk had some great video and we were all laughing because we're out on the thing.
Because we're burning Mr. Met.
And
that was fantastic.
I was getting loopy from the fumes a little bit.
Yeah, he did set off some kind of weird chemical aroma when
it
he burned.
Did, yeah, it did yeah. not smell. It smelled like losing.
It
smelled
yes,
like
it
what
did.
Losing feels like.
Yes, Mr. Met
would
know
that. So I just
want
to say, look, you know, I wrote to Mr. Met.
You actually wrote to Mr. Met.
Yes.
Was this a letter or an email?
No, I typed it because I got a typewriter for Christmas. And so I
what kind of typewriter? Like an Olivetti?
I don't know, some Amazon.com.
It's not an Olivetti kind of typewriter?
No, it's not a fancy one. It's like a, I don't know, daisy wheel or something.
Uh-huh.
And so I typed up a letter to Mr. Met and said, hey, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a Red Sox fan, but I've always been a fan of Mr. Met. Beyond being a fan for the Mets, which is kind of a complicated thing, like Mr. Met is kind of an uncomplicated thing for me because he just seems so full of joy, even though he's only got like four fingers. And he's got to watch the Mets lose all the time.
Oh, he's not full of joy. No.
I know. You hate Mr. Met.
I dislike Mr. Met.
But I'm saying I don't have any hard feelings. And so I felt guilty afterwards.
Yeah,
I mean, it helped us raise funds for this.
We did, which was a worthy cause. You should point out to him.
Radio.
You should point out to him that it helped us raise funds for WFMU.
I did.
His demise, his fantastic documented demise into the depths of hell. With burning flames of fire.
I mean, I did. I think I put that
was,
in there.
It was for a good cause.
I said it was for a good cause, and if there was a way that I could make it up to Mr. Met, that I would be happy to make it up personally to Mr. Met. I don't want to get another tattoo because I usually get fainty. You know, it's a blood event.
Do you have a tattoo?
I have a couple of, you know, prison tattoos.
Uh-huh. Oh, those are nice.
And then
you've got the classic bluebird flying.
I think
that's
it's red.
Classic.
I don't know. It used to be blue, but then you know, they fade with age.
Yeah.
I had an 8-ball, but now it's like an 8 football.
Yeah, it's kind of stretched. It's not really round.
I gotta get those fixed. But yeah. I really don't want to get a Mr. Met tattoo because I usually faint and stuff.
Yeah.
When I get tattoos.
You don't want that.
I didn't want to name my kid Mr. Met because I don't think I'm going to have any kids. So anything
right.
other
so
than
can
those
you do?
Two.
What
other,
can you,
you know,
do
to
make
it
up,
to
Mr.
Met?
Do you think Mr. Met would come here?
I think he would. You know, he doesn't talk a lot.
Could I punch him if he comes?
I don't know. We're not going to escalate the cycle of violence. That's not the point of this.
I really don't like Mr. Met. I went
I know.
Him.
I don't know why
well,
you don't
I,
like
you
him.
You know, it's the same thing as when I was in second grade and Mrs. Johnson read us the Winnie the Pooh books.
You
and
had
I
a second grade teacher named Mrs. Johnson?
All my teachers were named Mrs. Johnson.
Oh. Because my third grade teacher was named Miss Johnson.
Everybody, all the teachers in my school were named Mrs. Johnson. Every single one of them.
Was it some sort of cult or something like that?
No.
Or is that just like a Nebraska thing?
It was Iowa, you know? It's just like, yeah.
I don't want to talk about Iowa.
I'm mad at Iowa right now. Yeah,
I
know. Okay, that was, yeah. Well, you should know better than to pick them. I didn't pick Iowa to go through. Actually, I picked Iowa State to get to the final four.
That was the final four.
Well, I don't know. I thought they would. Yeah. So we have Sportsy Talk brackets.
Yeah. How's that
and,
going?
And yeah, it's going pretty great. I'm still in good shape. You're way down at the bottom somewhere.
I'm going to make like every year. I rise up because of my choices for the final four
right.
are better than the choices.
But
for
But I
the...
think I think that it's interesting because every single day we had a new leader. Every day.
Yeah, it just means they're falling down.
Yeah, but other people are coming up. I mean, it's like...
I mean,
it's
Studio
like,
B. Ben is on the thing here saying his things are busted. I don't think they're busted.
I don't think they're busted. He's tied for second or third.
He's just being self-deprecating. He's probably going to win again.
He is probably going to win again. He's probably going
to
repeat.
Last year, Studio B. Ben won, and he got to be on the show with us, and I got to like just sort of drink under the desk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what you do anyway.
It's like a week off for me.
That's kind of what we do anyhow. I felt so awful this morning when I got up. I had to go into work and do a presentation, and I was like,
"Yeah, presentation."
Oh man, I didn't want
to. You should have. I would have given you the monkey suit
No.
You could have worn. She had a halo last night. Where it was like a strobing.
Yeah, it had a LED light.
I would have
light
worn that
halo.
To distract people.
Yeah, people should go online and see that stuff. That's all. This stuff is online. It's all. That's one of the great things about WFMU. We archive everything and stuff. All the video stuff is online. And you should pledge for that, right? People should still pledge. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody.
I get paid the same way that you pledge.
Yeah.
Now or
well,
not.
We don't get any pay at all, right? So we don't get paid, so we don't care. But there are people who came in during the marathon to help us out, and we want to thank them because people come in and they cook meals for us.
Tom from Glasgow was very
helpful.
Yeah,
he came in from Scotland.
Hannah,
for
was
this.
That her name?
Hannah was our was
she was
one
good.
Of our fun people.
Danny D was everywhere.
Yeah,
he was helping out.
Mister.
He went the extra mile. So I might have to stop making fun of the Devils or the
Yeah,
Bengals
well,
or
not just for a week. Then
just
we can get back on it. Yeah,
he's in my fantasy. You're going to be in my fantasy baseball league too with my brothers
right. okay,
and cousins.
So.
And they're like little cousins.
All right.
Like a 10-year-old cousin is in that league. So like no, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No showing people your bruises or whatever.
Oh
okay?
yeah. We got to. Okay, so you.
I never got
to.
I listened back to last week's show. I was supposed to take off my pants at some point. You had promised I would take off. My
I know.
Pants.
You never took your pants off.
I don't remember saying that I would do that.
Well, you didn't say you would do it. I said you would do it, and you never did it.
I never did it.
So you know that just fine.
We'll build up to next year.
Okay, next year, pants on the ground. That's
pants
what
Brett, on the ground.
That's what Brett Favre used to say. Pants on the ground.
Pants on the ground.
Pants on the ground. Yeah.
Brett
Favre
was
weird. Next year, it's pants on the ground with Sportsy Talk.
Okay.
So keep us around for another year. We did get another letter. We didn't hear back from Mr. Met, but
no,
we did hear.
Well, I mean, I only mailed a letter like on Thursday.
I don't think. Do you think we're going to hear back from him?
Yes.
Can I punch him?
No. What?
I want to hurt
Why
him.
Why do you want
oh,
to attack Mr. Met?
Okay, so I started to tell you, Mrs. Johnson read us the Pooh books, and I told her that
Those
I hated. I hated them.
You
I
hate
hated,
Mr.
I
you hate,
hate
Winnie the Pooh?
I hate Winnie the Pooh and all the Pooh characters, and I have since I was first introduced to them when I was in second grade.
Why
I have
do you
wanted,
hate Winnie the Pooh?
They are so soft. I just want to hurt them.
What?
I hate them.
Did you
I hate
have,
them.
Like,
I hate them.
Stuffed animals as a child, or did
yeah.
you just burn things?
Oh, no, I had a wonderful stuffed animal. I had a yellow rabbit named Rabbit Moranville after the shortstop of the 1949 Chicago.
What?
look up Rabbit Moranville. Rabbit Moranville. He was like a shortstop.
I looked that up after the show.
He was like a shortstop on the White Sox, I think.
Moranville.
Maybe he was with the Milwaukee Braves. I'm a little unclear
Milwaukee
about
Braves.
He might have been with the Milwaukee Braves.
How old are you?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't active. He wasn't active when I. No,
I don't think he would be.
He wasn't. It was like active in like the 20s or the 30s or something. But I read about him in my Children's Guide to the Hall of Fame. I had a book about the Hall of Fame, and I read about every single player in the Hall of Fame, and I was taken with Rabbit Moranville.
So why do you hate the Winnie the Poohs? And the Tiggers and the Eeyores?
Because they're so soft and hideous. I wanted to murder them. I just thought they were such losers. They were just such soft, like, ugh. Everything's awful. Everything's okay.
Okay, Winnie the Pooh.
I hate Winnie the Pooh.
You hate Winnie the Pooh.
I hate
and
Winnie
Mr.
the Pooh.
Matt.
I hate Mr. Matt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate them. I want to hurt them. I want to burn them. I want to burn
We've
Winnie the Pooh.
We've already burned Winnie.
Well, I know. You know the Winnie the Pooh. The real Winnie the Pooh is in New York City. Did you know that?
What?
He's the real Winnie the Pooh.
Like in the Met or something?
No, he was given to the New York City Public Library, and he was
what
in.
What are
the,
they going to do with it? Probably
he's on display.
He's like next to the dumpster or something.
No,
like
no,
there,
he's right? on display. He's on display, oh. And they were in the.
Is he gross? Like is he like a stuffed animal that like Christopher Robin was tugging around with him? So?
Yeah, Christopher Robin gave him to the library here, so he's on display in New York City. You can go see him. So if we
are you going to attack him? At
yeah,
the library?
Yeah.
No,
if
we're
we
not
going
to go see him. Then.
No, if we could like get him, we could burn him too.
Burn?
Like next.
Why are we setting things on fire?
Okay, I don't know.
You become a pyro.
Okay, wait. No, I like to set fires.
I want
to
say thank you to Kat in Chicago. Listener Kat. You know she adopted me.
I know.
This is a new responsibility that I have no idea.
Oh, I have to say. Thank you to listener Dan B. Upstate. Listener Dan B., thank you for adopting me.
Upstate like our other guys upstate?
No, he's a person who lives upstate. He's not in prison. No.
Okay.
And he adopted me. And Kat, listener Kat, listener DJ Kat in Chicago adopted you.
I could get a tattoo owned, adopted by DJ Kat.
That would be good.
I mean, I don't want to faint on the air.
No.
So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what.
Do we have to get? Yeah, maybe we have
What's
to get
required?
Like some kind of markings or something. You know, something
markings.
Something that designates us as owned.
But we got a letter this week from
a prisoner.
A prisoner.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay, prisoners! Okay, dear Bronwyn, spelled
Bron, B-A-R-W-N,
like strong, win like winner. But it's actually pronounced Bronwyn. Did you know that Bronwyn?
I did. You told me that one time.
Yeah.
Bronwyn.
Okay.
C.
Yeah. Jim the Poet, and Mr. Matt from Sports.
And Kelly. Kelly's there.
Kelly's there. I am a big fan of most of the radio shows on WFMU. I listen to your shows all the time. I have a lot of free time on my hands. as do many of our listeners.
I have a lot of free time, too.
As far as DJs...
I wish I was in jail, but I don't.
As far as DJs, I think you guys are by far the coolest DJs on WFMU.
Prison
Yay!
Approved!
Prison approved! Sportsy Talk. I wish I could see your webcast, but I do not possess such technology where I am located.
I barely possess the same technology.
I currently live in Otisville, New York. I never heard of your radio station until I got to Otisville. So they play us in the prisons.
That's nice.
That's good. I'm glad. Okay.
Or he's got one of those, like, you remember you used to make those crystal radios?
Oh, yeah, a little You'd crystal radio set? Yeah,
yeah. Those were cool.
Right? Those are good. You have to, like, clamp it to a pipe. Like you're in your sink or something. You have to clamp it to a pipe under the sink.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Unfortunately, I cannot leave Otisville for another 7 months. The government has detained me in a prison camp for white collar criminals.
Ooh. Government.
I would like
Thanks, Obama.
I know. I would like to make a pledge to your radio station, but I do not make much money. I only get 13 cents an hour at my job
Ooh.
In the prison. Okay, you know what? In Oregon, right?
Yeah.
The men in Oregon, when I used to go visit the prison there, the men in prison...
Women. Is that another story we have to get into some other time?
Well, another time, yeah.
Okay.
So the men were making $1 an hour in
Ooh,
prison jobs.
Maybe we should get them transferred.
To Oregon, yeah. But the women were only getting 50 cents an
hour. What?
And that's what I said. I said, how come the women are only getting half as much as what the men make at their prison jobs? And everybody's like, yeah, well, if they don't complain, we can't do anything about it. So I'm like, well, why can't I complain about it?
They don't like it when prisoners complain, because then they like start hosing people down and going crazy, lockdown.
Yeah, so I don't know whatever happened with that.
I saw that episode of Oz.
I think I...
That was a rough show.
We should just go visit a prison. We should do a remote.
We could
like
do
a live
remote from
Otisville.
Yeah, we could go up there.
Do you think they'd let us in to do, like, Sportsy Talk in Otisville?
I mean, didn't they let Johnny Cash into, like, San Quentin or whatever that was?
Folsom Prison. Folsom Prison Blues.
I know you guys just want to get out of here and kill a bunch of people, but I thought we'd sing you guys some songs, all right?
Do you think they'd let us do a
of
remote?
Of course.
That would be fantastic. Okay. I think I could scrape together $10 and make a pledge. Bronwyn said that for $10 I can get a bumper sticker and some literature. That's not true, actually. It's
I did not say that.
Well, we are going to send him some stuff, but I mean, I didn't say that because that's not right.
It must be hard for him to listen on his crystal radio or whatever he's listening to.
He's just hearing the voices.
Through the bars.
He's hearing the voices in his head. It's not really us. It's something else that he hears. It would be nice to get a list of shows with the times of the shows mailed to me. And then he goes on about me probably shouldn't be showing my bruise on TV and stuff. And
I can't. I can't get the image out of my head.
It was hot,
wasn't
it?
Your underpants.
Yeah. My black lacy underpants.
Oh, Dale says he's not far from Otisville. We can come get coffee cake with Dale if we go.
Listener Dale. Okay.
I don't even know. Otisville could be like 10 hours.
Yeah,
from
I have
here.
No idea.
I mean, upstate
where it
is like a
where
vast area of space.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look.
I actually don't know where it is. I figured it was kind of close, but maybe it's not. Okay. So anyway, thanks to inmate number 21502-014.
You should say his first name.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
He says if he says we should say his name, care. It would be make his life worth living.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You didn't read the whole letter. You gave me the letter
to
read, and then you didn't read it.
No, you never read it. I did read the whole letter. I wasn't gonna read his name.
Say his first name.
All right, listener Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Listener Lawrence in Otisville. Thank you. We will send you something.
We'll come up. We'll talk to them.
I think we got to come up there.
I'll talk to the warden.
We got to do a remote from prison. That would be the most awesome remote ever
done. It's a pretty cool looking.
Is it?
Where
is it?
Medium security federal correctional institution.
Wait, it's medium security?
As far as medium security federal correctional institution.
Wait, it's medium security? He said it was like a prison camp.
It's with an adjacent minimum security satellite camp and detention center.
I guess he's in the
adjacent. What are they, out in tents or something like that? That's terrible.
Are they? Is he in a tent? Wait, he's in a tent? He's in a yurt?
I don't know. It says minimum security satellite camp.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I haven't been to prison.
We have to go.
They don't even let me drive by prisons. You know, we had some trouble.
They're afraid you're.
It's 201-209-9368.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I gotta get the thing down.
Oh, you gotta get the phone down?
Where's the phone?
Yeah, we're kind of out of practice here answering phone calls.
We're back in our fantastic Studio A today, and I'm so happy.
201-209-9368. Let's bring in our guest.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have a microphone
you
for her, right?
What you just gave the
maybe they
number.
Want to talk to our guest.
Our guest is an
erudite.
Don't we have to talk to our guest first and like?
Well, we're just churning the butter a little bit so that things start rising to the top. I don't actually know how butter gets churned.
Haven't you ever churned butter?
I have not. One of the Mrs. Johnsons
in my school.
Were you in a cult?
No, that was what their names
were.
Were
you in a cult?
No. Okay, so one of the Mrs. Johnsons all had, like, they had us, like, churn butter in fourth grade. Fourth grade Mrs. Johnson.
That seems like the kind of work they make
prisoners do for 13 cents an hour.
For 13 cents an hour.
We have a call.
Oh, we do? We're not going to talk to our guests.
Yes, we are. WFMU, you're on the air.
Possibly. Are we in mono? They're not in mono.
Oh, we're not in mono.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
We haven't been in the studio in a while.
WFMU, you're on the air.
Hello, I like the show very much.
I like the show.
And I'm pretending to be a caller.
Okay. WFMU, you should be on the air.
Hey, Bronwyn and Jim.
Danny D,
I just want to extend from the entire WFMU family our appreciation for everything that you did during the marathon.
You were amazing. You were answering
phones.
You
went above and beyond.
Helping everybody. Thank you. Danny D is an exemplar of the fine interaction that we have with our
listeners.
It is
a level of volunteerism.
Yeah,
and,
it's very beautiful.
And that I just can't imagine. So thank you for everything that you've done and will do for WFMU.
And for Sportsy Talk.
Thanks, I appreciate
you,
that.
You definitely represented Sportsy Talk very well, I gotta say.
As you guys know.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, you definitely represent it. And then you were with somebody last night who was
very
super hot, by the way. Like, oh my God.
He had a very attractive live human female with him last night.
That was definitely a female lady.
Yeah, she was very beautiful. Congratulations, Danny D.
I have a friend from North Carolina.
Okay.
But I want a friend from North Carolina.
But anyway, but you guys were, I pretty, your tribute to the Anaheim Angels Rally Monkey was quite touching.
I think the Rally Monkey has like a spot of white on his head too.
Yeah.
If I could make that move, the Rally Monkey does this like flipping move.
Yeah, if you
just
could learn to do
that.
People
go crazy for him. You know,
if you could
it's
do
ridiculous.
That. Yep, Anaheim Angels Rally Monkey, that was it.
and it was pretty awesome. I gotta say, Jim, like my friend, first time she's visiting FMU, and the first thing she sees is Jim the Poet walking out
to go get Polish beers up the street.
It was like it couldn't have been scripted better.
It's fantastic.
It's like, yes, welcome to our crazy land of radio.
Yeah,
I thought everyone was going to be dressed like a monkey. I had no idea that I'd be the only one.
Yeah, we're going where the monkey came out.
The monkey's head is strangely. I got to fill that with something.
People should look online.
It looks pretty like.
Go to WFMU.org.
It's like a messed up looking monkey.
Look for the marathon videos, and we're at about 40 minutes in on the first one.
I thought we did pretty well. When we were rehearsing, I blew that song pretty badly.
Oh, yeah. So
you guys were excellent.
No, I mean, we did a much better job than the
time that we actually sang it,
I start too high, and then I get too falsetto, and it's bad.
Well, the first time we rehearsed it, I didn't know the song yet, so that was...
Yeah, I did not know you didn't know that song.
Oh, yeah, no, I never heard
you
it
You were
before.
Like, I've never heard this song, obviously.
Yeah, and yet you hit it perfectly.
Yeah, we did okay.
No,
we
she did a great
okay.
job.
You,
God
so did
is
you.
Seven. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I'm not going
to... Yeah, I just
wanted
to scream. I just wanted to scream God is Seven. That's all I wanted
that works.
To do.
That was the best part, I think.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
I don't want to take too much time away from
okay.
a guest.
Oh, yeah, we got to introduce a guest. Yes?
You know, I know, because she's,
but,
she's
but
sitting here like, she's sitting here like,
quiet,
why did I come out here? Why did I come out here?
One minute, like, oh, thanks, guys. Uh-huh. But Cricket World Cup excitement, semifinals coming up.
Wait a minute,
yeah.
Semifinal? It's been
semifinals.
Going on for 2 months,
yeah, actually,
man.
They've knocked teams out now. They're finally down to the Final Four.
The Final Four of the Cricket World Cup. Okay.
New Zealand's in the Final Four against South Africa, both of them with a history of blowing it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them won't. One of them has to make the final. And then India and Australia, which should be a good one, the other semi. And poor West Indies, Jeff Sargent's team, the West Indies, basically like the first batter for, you know, you start with two batters on the field.
Okay.
The first guy for New Zealand basically hit the ball, and I guess the West Indies guy dropped it.
Oh.
And after that, the guy didn't make out the entire game, like at 237 runs, which like set a World Cup record, and basically blew away any chance the West Indies had.
I don't know, man.
237 runs? That's
200.
Great.
Well, it's good because I have a staycation coming up next week, so maybe I could take it. Maybe we could take in
some cricket.
Cricket.
It's going to be.
We'll meet up someplace.
I've got a staycation coming up in 3 months, and the Cricket World Cup will still be happening then. I can watch it.
No, it'll make way for Aussie Rules football. The grounds will be clear.
Oh, Aussie Rules football. Hot pants football.
I may have a guest for you for an Aussie Rules football preview.
Okay. Oh, we need that. Oh, we definitely need a preview.
Yeah.
All right,
okay, Danny.
Anyway, I want to let you get to your live person guest.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Thanks cool. for calling.
We've been building
Thank
up the
you,
suspense
guys.
For,
yeah.
you know, we'll see you later.
All right, bye.
That's Danny D.
He's our... What is he? He's our like our
he's like the
12th, auto sports.
He's the fifth man and the 12th man, and he's the you know
third
he's
man.
The,
he's the third man here. He's our
he's the other guy.
He's our NASCAR.
He's the guy.
He's our NASCAR correspondent.
He goes to the Devils games, so we don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. He does all this stuff. He watches Cricket World Cup,
Cricket
so we don't
World
have
Cup,
to.
So we don't have to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's great. He watches auto sports, so I don't have to. That's great. All right, we do have a live guest in the studio. Yay! I'm going to turn
have
on the mic.
Have we made you wait long enough?
Yeah, she's
good.
She's nervous now, so we can.
I'm nervous.
Okay. No, it's everything's fine. Everybody, this is Jill Carol Wiener, and she is a sportsy journalist and a author.
I like journalists and authors.
Yep, and she's here today for a couple of reasons. One is that she's celebrating the 25th anniversary of her first sportsy article in the New York Times.
Ooh.
And she's also just had a story come out in Publishers Weekly where she reviewed all the upcoming sports books from the big publishers regional publishers too.
I work at a bookstore, and Publishers Weekly is pretty much the buy. Like if you don't read Publishers Weekly, you're no kind of bookseller from
right.
where I come from.
Right, exactly.
Like back in the day, if you didn't read Publishers Weekly, it's like just go. Like
right.
just leave.
So as a service to our listeners, we asked her to come in. She very kindly come all the way out here to talk about upcoming sports books because we are sportsy and we do read books. I like to read, and we want to encourage that. So so hi, Jill. Welcome.
Hello.
Is her mic on?
Yeah, her mic is on.
Is it on? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Is she mic three?
No. Keep putting mics up.
Hello. Should I talk? This one?
I don't know. Just try any mic.
But that's your mic.
Well, this mic doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
I don't know.
Shoot.
I tried this. Ah! Ah!
Which mic was that?
That was three.
All right, wait a minute.
All right. It was mic three.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Has everybody got a mic?
Yes.
Okay. Jill?
Are you on?
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
It took her that long.
It took a while to figure out where her mic didn't work.
Yeah. I figured it out, though.
Yeah, no, you did a good job.
It was good. Okay.
So,
yay.
201-209-9368.
So tell me about the first sportsy article that you ever had.
So published. My first sportsy article is very exciting for me because I was a journalist. I love writing, but my passion was playing sports. I love watching sports, but I really like to play.
So what did you play?
Football is my favorite sport.
Football, like throwing and catching and running and stuff like that?
Yep. She played football.
Oh, wow. I didn't even play football.
She's such a bitty thing, you wouldn't think that she could play football.
She probably put a hit on people.
Probably.
Yeah, well, I used to play. The reason why I could play was because I used to play with my brother, who was 8 years older than me. And at eight, you don't think girls can't play even if they're zero, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess when he was 10, I was two.
Did they use you as the ball? I mean, what happened?
No, but my middle brother didn't like to play, so I always played against my oldest
awesome.
Brother.
Oh, wow.
And Adam was always the ref, so we would wrestle and do all the stuff. But anyway, I loved playing and I was pretty confident. And you know, a lot of times you're the secret weapon because men take so long, you know, they will never believe that a woman can play football,
right?
So you can make 90, you know, interceptions and they still won't throw you the ball. So this piece was, I actually was playing. We played in a regular Sunday pickup game, mm-hmm. and this time it was with a bunch of friends that we played baseball with. And in baseball, you know, we had this whole little, okay, you know, because the other team always underestimated the women playing baseball,
right.
My mm-hmm. teammates. So they would come in and we hit the ball over their heads. But anyway, the quarterback wasn't throwing me the ball. And I was like,
and this was somebody crazy. This was somebody that you knew from baseball? You
Someone
knew
Someone I knew from baseball. I even mm-hmm. played football with.
And he wouldn't pass
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, it was like okay. I was waiting for Godot. It was like this existential mm-hmm. experience. You know, what are Jeez. They going to throw? What do I have to do? Am I auditing this class?
I'm wide
what
open.
Do I have
yeah,
to
throw
do?
The ball.
Right, right, right. So this essay was so much fun. It was really an essay. And what wound up happening was, well, the
so intro you wrote to so you wrote about this experience.
Yes,
just to write about it. Just.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a little bit of time off because I was wounded from this game because I tore the ligaments in my shoulder going
Ooh.
For the game-winning touchdown.
Ooh. Oh,
oh
so
you won
a,
the game.
There's a happy, I mean, so, other than the ligaments.
Yeah.
It sounds like a happy ending.
So, yeah, no, it was great. And
she won the
story
game.
Was so much fun. And the story is really fun to write because I actually spoke to people. For the piece, I did a few interviews. Like, it's mostly me making fun of all these guys, you know, and that, you know, maybe my audio's turned off. They can't hear me saying I'm open, you know.
Uh-huh, right,
and
right.
And it's like, you know, you turn invisible and all this stuff. But they're like, so I told him to throw it long because the guy, you know, I waited and waited for a pass, blah, blah, blah. And he threw it really far. And I was like, oh, you know. Won't
Jeez.
Curse, but geez, I have to catch it. So the quotes in the piece were, you know, her body, you know, she extended her fingertips met the ball, but you know, I was still in the air, I would have dropped it, and then she cradled it to her body like a mother cradles her baby.
Because
wow.
that's how they see women who play. They would never say that about like Rogers Cromartie or somebody.
Can
you
hear them
would...
saying that about
no,
anybody in
no,
the NFL
no.
or anywhere?
Jason Pierre-Paul, no, they don't talk about him cradling.
I don't think he would
ball,
catch. It. I don't think Jason Pierre-Paul would catch a pass.
They couldn't catch it anyway.
You,
okay.
I mean, you would probably be a. I mean, if the Giants probably could have used you last
yeah,
year,
yeah, probably
you could cradle
yeah.
a pass like a baby.
That's
yeah.
Right. But the Times loved the piece. I
so you just wrote it just to write it, and then you just sent it to the Times, just like oh, here's something I wrote.
Yes.
You know, you don't know me, but here's a thing I wrote.
Right.
And they published it.
And it ran on Super Bowl Sunday,
oh,
which was with a big illustration. It was mm-hmm. fantastic. I was really excited. And then they asked me to do another piece about playing co-ed baseball.
And so that's how
softball.
You kind of got started writing sportsy
yes.
articles for the Times?
That's how I got started. And it was a lot of fun because you get to, because you play so much, you have to have so much patience when you play with men because
mm-hmm.
they always underestimate you. They think you can't play. And
right.
the whole thing is I knew, because football I'd been playing so long and softball I came to later in life, I wasn't as confident. So, but it turned out to be a really fun piece about how it's easier for a man to catch a ball than a woman when you play in co-ed softball.
And Jim, the poet. It was not easy for me to catch balls.
No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. For a man to get a hit than a woman.
It's easier for a man to get a hit than a woman?
Yes.
Why would that be?
Good question.
Okay. Read the article. Is that right?
You can read on. You know. So it's easier because the guys give guys so much credit. So they back up. They extend they open the field. And so there's plenty of holes, like in the infield. And if a woman gets the same, whatever, a scorching line drive, the holes in the field are covered. The gaps are closer
They move in for the women.
The biggest moment of my softball career, and I've only had about two or three games of softball in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of a jerk in college, and I wrote in the school newspaper against this fraternity, and then the school newspaper ended up playing this fraternity. And they saw me come up, and they're like, this guy can't hit. And so everybody came all the way in, and I hit it was a grand slam.
Wow.
It was over a wall to dead center.
Whee!
It was like the greatest hit I've ever gotten. I slid home.
Perfect.
I was a complete jerk. Yeah, no. And then there was a fight later. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that was like, they all moved in, and I was like, all right, go ahead. It was over a fence. Like, it was as far
really?
As I've ever hit
over
anything.
Yeah. But isn't that fantastic? Isn't that, like, a wonderful, like, a moment in
your
life?
I lost the game, it turned out, because I had a little baby glove, you know, because I didn't have, like, a real baseball glove or a real softball glove. I had, like, a little child's
glove. I don't
want
to hear the sad ending. I want to stick with
this guy came around third and came up with the
–
no, this guy came around third, and there was a throw home, and the guy, like, you know, comes up, and it was one of those – it was before the Buster Posey had been broken in half, so it was like, all right.
Yeah, they could still do that.
Yeah, so I got beheaded. By this guy coming home and Teak won.
But
TKE wins. They always win.
But that's not your fault. And you had a grand slam home run.
That was
pretty
good. It was a first inning, though. You know, you forget that after
you
were as good as your last at bat. I'm sorry.
You remember that. You remember that even now. That's pretty good.
I wanted to bring up something that because you made me think of it. Monet Davis was the big. You know, she was in the Little League Hall of Fame,
World Series,
and she
threw a shutout in the Little League.
She was kind of like the big star of the Little League World Series this year, and she's gotten a lot of attention. And then there was a guy who tweeted the other day that he was upset that
she was
going to have
a
Disney thing about her instead of call her a bad word. I don't want this guy to get thrown off the team. You know, I understand, like, maybe he's tired. Maybe people are tired of seeing me on top. This is a 13-year-old woman who's
I know. She's amazing.
Hey, I understand that maybe people are upset that they see me all over the place. They think I get too much credit. But I really don't want this guy to get thrown off the team because of some dumb tweet. Because we've all said stupid stuff. You know, we've all made mistakes. And I'm like, she's like the best person I've ever heard.
I know, right?
She was amazing. She said, I know how hard he worked to get there.
That was incredible.
I was like,
right?
Oh my God.
She knows how hard he worked to get there, and he was not acknowledging how hard she worked to get to where she was, you know? But I bet he does now.
The school still you're an embarrassment, you know? But I mean, like, I don't know. That was a pretty awesome
thing.
That's
pretty amazing. Good for Monet Davis.
So she seems pretty great.
Yeah, she is. I follow her on Twitter.
Oh, do you?
Cool. Yeah. I have to follow her.
Yeah, she's interesting.
I just thought I'd bring that up.
That's good. So what?
She's cool. I don't know. I like Monet Davis.
Let's talk about the books that are coming out.
Okay.
That you reviewed in Publishers Weekly. This is in March 16th.
These Publishers Weekly people work very hard. They get a ton of books.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really good. And you got to sort through them and see which ones to highlight.
They just send you like a big old box of books and say, here's a bunch of sports books that are going to be released. And what do you think?
These long lists.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably like 130 sports books that's coming out in like... by next December or so.
So
they used
a year.
To do it. Yeah, they used to do just seasonally, like two seasons, but now I think it goes through the winter. And anyway, some of them are very interesting. They have all kinds of anything you would be interested. They have Jeter's.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we have talked about that.
Did you read the one about the blind guy?
Yeah.
Oh, see, we want to get him on the show. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
He
writes for the Jersey Journal here and I've talked about him before. I don't want to ruin it. Maybe you could tell the story better than I, but watches the game with this, you know, like the shot heard around the world game. He goes, they immediately go out, because the games in the World Series or the National League Championship Series used to be in the afternoon, and so they go out and they're playing baseball. Guy gets, like, hit in the head with, like, a liner back or something like that, and goes blind. Like, he's blind for the rest of his life.
He was 11. He was a kid. He already had some
retina problems.
And then he got
problems.
And then he got hit
but
at a ball
game.
He
was blind. And, you know, his mom was always worried about that happening, but he loved to play so much. Mm-hmm. He's really loved baseball.
And then
baseball.
The guy writes about, he's writing about baseball for like, he's still writing about baseball,
life.
Like 60
yeah.
or 70 years or whatever. I mean, I don't know how old the guy is, but that's a long time ago.
He's a broadcaster, no? Yeah. He wrote about, he's the blind broadcaster for the Yankees.
Wow.
Well, I bet he does a better job of keeping the pitch count than John Sterling.
I can never keep the pitch count.
And there's going to be a movie.
Oh, cool.
Stanley Tucci is playing
him. He's great.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci's terrific.
The guy's name is Ed Lucas, and he would be 75 now. So he's in his 70s.
And he writes an article in the Jersey Journal. Once a week, he writes an article in the Jersey called As I See It or something like that.
Wow.
And it's about his experiences in baseball and with the covering the Yankees and stuff like that.
Jeter's publishing company is also bringing out a book by that Seattle Seahawk who's
Derek
deaf.
Coleman, called No Excuses by Derek Coleman.
Yeah. Oh, there's a deaf Seahawk?
Yeah,
a
didn't you
player?
Know about him?
I don't
yeah,
think I knew deaf. About him. There was a couple deaf baseball players that I knew of, but I didn't.
He's actually the third deaf football player in the NFL.
Really? I didn't
know
that.
But, you know, the other guys were a long time ago, but this is the first offensive
guy.
Yeah, so he's in the huddle. And he makes eye contact with, I guess, with Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah. So
does, lip reads, and they do signs to each other
and
stuff?
Yeah, and they have a backup plan if that doesn't work, and it's very cool.
Wow.
He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a very interesting
book.
So
Jeter's
well, that's kind of impressive. I mean,
I
didn't even know Derek Jeter read books and stuff. I mean, he's kind of a perfect person as it is. But then it's like, no, what I really want to do is like be a book publisher.
Yeah, and he does children's books, and he's not just interested in sports. It sounds like
but those
very
are the,
cool
those
career.
Are the sports books that he's coming with. His company is coming out with
two, and there's a whole bunch of other books.
Yeah, was there anything that you particularly recommended? I mean,
well,
I know you sort of
World
reviewed
Cup
a lot.
Coming up.
Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup's gonna be
so
big.
So Abbeville put out this beautiful book they sent me. It's like an interactive book, so it's got the bracket, and you could follow them. You know, who's
cool.
moving. It's beautiful, and it's got the history of the World Cup. And stars and players, like who to watch. It's very good. It's very informative, and it's easy to carry around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's a whole bunch of
that's
ton
for
of
the
other
that's for the Women's
books.
World Cup. What's that one called?
FIFA Women's World Cup Canada. Abbeville is the publisher. Pretty straightforward.
They do nice. They do nice stuff like pictures and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like all full color.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, and they have books about.
We'll have to have a World Cup bracket.
Oh yeah,
definitely have to get a big poster.
Well, who's going to not take the USA to win? Of all our listeners, like maybe there's that one person from Finland or something like that, but like
everybody
else is going to
take the
USA.
Right.
So then, if you like baseball,
mm-hmm.
Jorge Posada has a book.
Oh, he's cool.
Oh, I love
and
him.
So does Pedro Martinez.
Oh, Pedro's
so
great.
There
Pedro,
you go.
I'm a Red Sox
choose.
Fan. So, you know.
Yeah, and
you
I'm a Yankees
choose.
Fan, so I'll take the Posada book. You take the Martinez book.
Well, Pedro's just funny. I mean, but Jorge Posada's cool, but I mean, Pedro's
okay,
like
here's
very
what Jorge,
amusing.
Here's what Jorge Posada does to toughen up his hands when he was a catcher.
He urinates on his hands, right?
Yeah, he soaks his hands.
I don't know
hands.
How that...
He yeah. soaks his hands in
that
his own urine.
That doesn't seem like it, so I'm not shaking his hand.
I know. You never want to touch Jorge Posada, but, you know, you could read his book.
So then there's this very interesting company called Microcosm, and they're like they're trying to break the sports barrier. They're trying to put out these cycling books related to sustainable living, like Culinary Cyclist. And
see, these make me
what
these are making me want to kill again too.
I didn't even get to the pedals.
You're
gonna
kill
yet.
Mr. Med?
I want to kill. I want to kill the sustainable cyclists.
Right,
okay,
I'm
go ahead.
Change
tell
the
me.
Topic.
Tell me. No. Tell me the horrible one. Tell everybody else the horrible one. I read
Pedal Zombies. Fuses they're short
zombies?
Stories fuses science fiction, cycling, and
so zombie like
and
looking
feminism.
Around for,
feminism.
Looking around for brains and then gets on a bike.
Yeah,
well, some
but,
of them
but,
are
but they're feminists.
Well, I got scared when zombies learned how to run in that 28 days later.
Oh,
I was
yeah,
like, whoa,
fast,
who taught them how to do
oh,
that?
Man, yeah, the fast zombies way
yeah,
more terrifying
no,
than
no
the
good.
Slow zombies.
I like slow zombie because then you could be like, all right, I'm gonna get some coffee and then I'm gonna keep running, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But zombies on bikes sounds terrifying. That sounds terrifying.
That sounds bad. I don't.
They explore every aspect. There's escaping by bikes, and there's pursuing zombies by bikes. There's all kinds of stuff.
I don't know.
And then
jeez. Makes me want to kill things.
There's the Glenn Burke story, the first openly gay baseball player.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
There's an openly gay baseball player.
There was. He
died.
He died of AIDS-related causes. But
when was this?
In the
1995.
Yeah.
He was actually playing and was open?
Well, what happened is they didn't want him to play. They wanted him to have a sham marriage.
They wanted him to marry a woman so that he could, you know, pretend he was straight, and he wouldn't do it.
There was other Billy Bean. So there's Billy Bean, the guy from the A's who never really made it in the big leagues, but there was other Billy Bean who was like who ended up saying, well, I was gay when I was playing and stuff like that, and people knew. Mm-hmm. That was in the 80s, but I hadn't heard about this guy.
Yeah. So this is his He wrote a memoir. He wrote a memoir, and it was like self-published or something. And now it's coming out from a publisher.
Oh,
yeah.
So what's the name of it again?
It's called Out at Home, the Glenn Burke story.
Clever.
Okay.
No, I think that sounds very interesting. I mean, you know, because like, how did somebody? I mean, apparently people did know. I mean, his people in his team.
I think
had
if your teammates,
know,
a I lot mean, of. I mean, I think if you were honest, if teammates were honest with people, they would say, well, of course there's always, you know, one or two guys in the thing, and you probably know, and for the most part guys probably don't care all that much.
Yeah, I would think not, right? I mean,
you hope, you know, not.
If I hope not. Well,
if they're,
I mean, I
if they're on
not.
Your team, well, I mean, that's the thing you learn from team sports is that, you know, you cannot like somebody.
Oh, definitely. Right. Like
but
half the
they're,
people
but
I play with
they're,
you, I didn't like, but then you're but on a team
really
good, and you're like, well, we're all
if they're
on
good,
team, you know.
If they're good and they're contributing, you know, then you're happy to have them on your team.
Right.
Even if you don't personally like them. So I'm sure there are teams where there are out guys, or guys who are not out, but, you know.
Well, for me, it would just be more babes
even,
for
even,
me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
well, like,
even,
well,
yeah,
oh,
right.
Great.
Well,
hey,
even,
great.
Even the homophobes would, you know, be happy to have them on the team because if they're great
the
stars.
Homophobes would be a bad name for a sports team.
Yeah, that would be really bad. Yes.
We're the homophobes.
Don't put them in your bracket. Anything else, Jill?
So, I don't know. There were so much. So
yeah, there's
many.
A lot.
There's
well,
the
well,
Cy Young
a lot
catcher,
of...
which is cool, about this guy, Charlie O'Brien, who caught for 13 Cy Young pitchers.
Wow.
So that's pretty amazing.
That's kind
very
of outstanding.
Good.
Yeah. Well,
and you know how much the catcher has to do with, I mean, with the pitch call and everything? I mean, those guys maybe wouldn't have made this.
I was a catcher, right? And I was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You
well,
know, I was set up on the inside part of the plate. And
you
then
were.
All that crouching is just terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really,
hard,
even I was like
right?
a 12, 13-year-old kid, and I was like, this is just killing my back.
Yeah. Yeah. That,
so, like, to be able to catch and be the, like, to know where they're supposed to, I mean, I don't even know how.
And they have to
work.
Have so much confidence in you because they're giving it all up. They're just doing what they have to do and relying on you.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you have a guy who's, I mean, like, Jason Veritek for the Red Sox had been, like, the catcher for two or three no-hitters or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of go, like, all right, well, you know, I'm just a kid. I'm John Lester. Or I'm, you know, Clay Buchholz or I'm whatever. And I'm just going to go with, I'm just not, never going to. I'm never going to, like, say no. At one point, it was like Curt Schilling was, like, into the eighth or ninth inning with a no-hitter, and he waved off. He goes, no, I'm pitching a fastball. And then he immediately gave it up, you know, and Veritek's like, yeah, you should have listened to me.
Yeah. Jason Veritek.
There you go.
Well, we will, on the Sportsy Talk comments page, on the title, the name of this show, we will also add the URL. We'll add the URL to this publisher
for the Publishers
Weekly article.
And it was in this most recent edition of Publishers Weekly?
The one that was out in
March
16th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a week.
Which might still be on newsstands, too. I mean, Publishers Weekly doesn't get immediately returned. Sometimes they keep it there a couple weeks.
But, I mean, you know.
The good ones.
If it's online, we can just. People
and online,
see it
too.
Online. Yeah. People will see it there. So you can look up those and read Jill's review of the books. And then you yourself have written a book.
Yes.
That's sportsy in a kind of a way, if you consider having a baby a sport, I guess.
I would. If there was a score, I would watch baby having.
Well, I always manage to sneak in sports, so I will tell you how after I tell you what the book's about.
Yeah, tell us about the book.
So it's a parenting journal. So I did it because I wanted to write a book. I was like, how do I break into books? I write about sports, but I also write about like parenting and people, and I do some. I love writing about New York and stuff. So
you write about a lot of things other than sports.
Yes.
I mean, sports and a lot of other things too. So
yes.
Parenting is one of those things.
Yeah, and I saw this great gap when my daughter was born that there were no good memory books out there. They were all really boring, or they had bunnies, and they weren't cool. They didn't have the dad. They didn't have the parents' perspective. It was like, what about me? You know, all of a sudden you have a baby, and then you and your husband or your partner, you disappear, and that's hard. So I wrote this funny book. And it's like babies first, parents first. So babies first solid food, parents first mushy food. And babies first real words and parents first baby words and stuff like that. But it's good. It's how the couple met. And it's
called When We Became Three.
Thank you. A memory book for the modern family.
Mm-hmm. And it really is about how it incorporates the parents and their background, which I think the kid will be interested in. You know, when a kid gets older and they look at this memory book, they'll say, you know, well, what was I doing when I was puking up at 2 months old? But, you know, how did my parents meet? Or what was the, you know, what were they thinking when all this was going on? So it's really funny. And you did incorporate sports into it.
Yeah, there were a few sports items, like there's a little part with the pregnancy part, besides which of the seven pregnant dwarfs were you, queasy, moody, sleepy, happy, grumpy, was arguments. arguments you've had. So which team's the miniature jersey the baby's going to wear?
And yeah, then, see, like if co-host Jim the Poet and I, God forbid, had some kind of hideous offspring together,
I don't know that I would submit the child to, like, I would let the kid decide.
That's a baby. It can't decide anything. It's a baby. I would put it in the little Yankees jersey, and you would put it in a Mets jersey, and then I'd have to burn it.
I would not put the child in a Mets jersey.
No, you would put
I wouldn't
in a Red
inflict
Sox
that on a young child.
You'd put it in a Red Sox.
I would let the children decide on their own.
No, they can't decide. They're babies.
At some point, they would be able to choose which team.
Yeah,
because,
when they're
40. The Mets might be good by the time the kid is 15
care.
Or something
the
like that.
The kid's a Yankees fan. That's what I'm saying.
Should
that's
I continue
all.
With the sports analogies?
Yes. Tell us what else is in there.
Also, there's the Baby Olympics. So, which is like long distance spit up, you know, does your baby win the gold and that?
Oh, good.
Power pooping, how many diapers the baby
could
fill.
We were doing that last night, I think, at the marathon finale. There was a lot
after
of that
Taco
going
Bell.
On.
Marathon
oh
crying.
Yeah.
And
some of that too.
Stuff like that. Speed sleeping, gold for putting your head down on the pillow and popping back up. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's...
Yeah, so I recommend that book, actually. I've actually, Sluggo and I have given it to several of our friends who have had babies, so, and everybody's loved it. So I think we've given it to...
I mean, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we've given it to two or three people. So
if you know,
you don't have a baby, but if you know somebody who's having...
I mean, not that I know of, but
not that when you could.
I mean, we'll go visit prison
too late.
And then, who knows?
Who knows you'll have a baby. But if you know anybody who is having a child, I really recommend it. It's a good book.
And the title is When We Became Three.
Yeah. And it's
available on
Amazon
online
and
everywhere.
All places. Yeah.
And actual
Barnes
bookstores.
Barnes and Noble bookstores. I find that if you go into a bookstore and you ask them to carry a book, they will carry it. And so you can do that for all your friends who are writers.
Ah,
and while you're doing that for your other friends, you could do it for me, too. Thanks.
See how it works?
I like guys in bookstores. They just sit there all day like me drinking coffee.
You're in a bookstore. You work in a bookstore.
I work in a bookstore.
I would like to work in a bookstore, but I don't think they pay me enough.
I don't pay anybody enough.
No, I guess not.
There's not a lot of customers.
Oh, wait. Can I say one more plug about the book?
Yep.
Sure.
That also it was recommended by Parents.com and Psychology Today. They said
those are good places.
It fosters communication between parents.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's a good thing.
That seems like a...
worthy cause.
At a certain point, parents don't want to talk, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm sick of you."
Hey, we got a few more minutes. If anybody wants to call in and talk to Jill Carol Wiener on Sportsy Talk, what's
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368.
Right. We had some calls.
You don't have to give us any money. You could just call.
No, you can just call and talk to us. We're done with.
We're commercial free and free form for another year at least.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yay. You know, we had a lot of good ideas. People sent us a lot of good ideas about what song we should have done last night. But
they
I didn't,
did when?
I looked, you know, in the weeks leading up to it, but
oh,
I didn't actually look at them until today. So, listeners, we will keep those on tap for next year, maybe.
We could do another. We could ask the Hoof and Mouth guys to come for a very special episode of Sportsy Talk.
No, we're going to go to prison, though. Definitely.
We're going to prison.
We are going to
and we're going to a Red Sox-Yankees game on the...
Oh, yeah, on the 12th. This is really exciting news. On April 12th, we will be attending, thanks to the Bronwyn C. Make-A-Wish Foundation, who has donated, once again, free tickets to Sportsy Talk.
What kind of tickets is it?
Like, they're good ones. Good ones, yeah.
Well, the whole stadium now, it used to be kind of cavernous and great and kind of, you know, whatever. But now, like, you could stand behind a section and eat a hot dog and stuff. I mean, the whole stadium's pretty good.
WFMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Glenn Burke also introduced the high five to Major League Baseball.
Glenn Burke
did he?
This is a historic figure.
He's an historic guy. Have you read the book, or are you going to read his memoir?
I haven't read the book, but there's a lot about him because he was also, in addition to all that, he was really the first Major League Baseball player to get into bodybuilding and lifting a lot of weights, because before that they thought lifting weights would kind of mess up your swing and stuff, and he was, right. He was really sculpted. And a lot of, I mean, when you talk about his acceptance among the Dodgers, there was, you know, there was an inherent conflict there, because Tommy Lasorda's son was kind of a member of the West Hollywood, you know, kind of a West Hollywood group. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of rumors about him. He kind of, you know, that Tommy Lasorda always argued against, and then his son died young.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, you know, that was part of, you know, Glenn Burke's trouble with the Dodgers, but it kind of, you know, forced Tommy Lasorda to deal with this.
Oh, I had no
idea.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, who, what's your name, Lister?
Don.
Lister Don. This is really good information. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting story, so I'm looking forward to that book.
Okay, yeah, check it out. Thanks.
Great, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Lister
really.
Don.
I mean, and then I don't know
great,
if that was in
listeners
the
listeners that we have.
If that was in the 80s, I mean, because I think of the bodybuilding really coming to after the age of cocaine.
No, he was in the 90s.
He was in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was. I know he died in 95.
Yeah, so it would have been the early 90s, maybe.
I think
late 80s, early 90s,
so
right?
Could Google that.
We will.
We always do.
I did want to mention there's a very smart member of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
His name is John Urschel. He's an offensive lineman, and he co-authored a paper for the Journal of Computational Mathematics.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I know about
him. A Cascadic Multigrid Algorithm for Computing the Fiedler Vector of Graph.
Yeah, I know about that guy.
Laplacians.
Yeah.
So he's like the smartest football player ever. He might be the smartest person I've ever heard of.
I know, but, you know, isn't he worried about getting, like, injured
and,
like, concussions and things? I mean, what if he gets a concussion and his brain goes away?
I
mean,
he's a huge person.
I know, but just because he's big doesn't mean that he's, like, couldn't get hurt in the brain, right?
Hey, it's Joe Firestone.
Joe Firestone! Yay! Congratulations on your awesome singing last night at the marathon, Joe Firestone.
Yeah. I guess Glenn Burke debuted with the Dodgers in 1976.
Oh, really?
And so then played through the 80s.
Oh, really? Wow.
Last game
that's earlier than I thought.
79. Okay.
We should ask him.
Joe's fixing the mics.
Oh, we got to go.
We do? Oh, it's time to go?
Yep.
No, we got to go.
We got to go. Thank you to our guest, Joe Carroll Wiener.
Thank you.
Here.
Had a great time.
And
it's really fun.
You have a blog or a website? Where can people find you online?
I do. I have a website, www.jill, Carroll, Wiener, WEINER.com. I'm also on Twitter at the same handle.
Okay. So follow Jill and check out what she does next. Sure to be interesting.
I'll be checking
don't
it
you think?
Out.
Yeah, I know you're going to be buying the baby book.
I've learned a lot today.
I know.
This is a very educational episode.
It's been
of
awesome,
Sportsy
Talk, and we'll be back next week with another one.
Oh, we will be.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Every week. Thank
Woo!
You. Yay!
Thanks to our listeners.
Thanks to listeners, and I don't know if this is queued up or not.
Oh, what?
What the song I'm supposed to play?
I don't know.
Because I should tell Joe Firestone. This CD player's messed up, and this one's weird.
Yeah, we're doing a little.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all the CD players are messed up.
Yeah,
we're back in the studio. What is this, Studio A, for the first time in a while?
Because
we were raising money upstairs, so now we're in this studio.
I can't make anything work.
But then we have to go to another studio in a couple weeks because they're going to rebuild half the station. So thanks for all your money and your support, because apparently this part of the building's going to fall off at some point until we fix it.
Oh, wait, I figured it out.
This has been Sportsy Talk and WFMU. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. We're online everywhere and all over the world at WFMU.org. And in Rockland County, we're at 91.9 FM.
And if I did this right, this is a song we sang
last
night.
Stay tuned. At the top of the hour, it's Joe Firestone and Dr. Game Show. It's a great show.
Yay.
There was a guy. Control the sea. Got killed by 10 million pounds of sludge from New York and New Jersey. In the sky.
welcome back to Dr. Game Show. You're listening to WFMU, and we are the game show here at WFMU. So if you're looking to play something tonight, this is it. That's the new
tagline. I like that.
Yep. We're here with guest Mike Kelton. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. I'm so glad you're here. And we got Janie Stoller here.
Obsessed.
And we got Manolo, as always. Manolo, how are you?
Oh.
Wow. Enthusiastic.
Oh, indeed.
I'm the radio werewolf. I was just looking at the moon, so.
Oh, the radio werewolf is in the house. We're post-marathon. I think we might meet our goal. It's very exciting. And I think it's going to be a good night. So if you're just tuning in for the first time, this is a show where listeners submit game shows, and we play them on the air. It's really a magical experience. And if you'd like to call in and play, you can. 201-209-9368. And you can also comment on the message boards on WFMU.org. Also, I will say that if you have an idea for a game show at any point in your life, you can email gameshowideas@gmail.com, and we will play your game show on the air, and Manolo will make you a custom theme song. It's like your birthday. And so if you'd like to call in and play, you have the chance to win. I will say it once, I'll say it twice, a custom magnet.
Wow.
Yes. So you have the chance to win a custom magnet, which will be sent directly to your house. And so if you think you want to call in and play, if you think you need a little up today, you should call in 201-209-9368, and we will take your call, and we will play a game with you. So, we got some games. How are you guys doing? Janie, Mike, how are you guys
doing? Great. My mind is racing, wondering what this magnet looks like.
Yeah. Well, it's a very special magnet. I will say that it has to do with, there's a little Mariah Carey. She's on it. I don't want to say too much more.
I mean, okay. Now I must
we
have
must
it.
We must have this magnet.
If Mariah's on the magnet, I must have the
must
magnet.
Must have the magnet.
You must have it. Manolo, yes. Have you ever seen the magnet?
Yeah, you gave me one, and it is in one of my coat pockets.
Well, thanks, Manolo. Really, thanks a bunch.
That's where I keep all my special things, I guess.
Aww.
Oh, well, that seems like a lie, but thanks. We got our first caller. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Kim. I've called before.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for calling again. Do you want to play with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Kim, you're bringing on our first game. Here we go. Okay, so, here you are. Okay, so, Kim, this first game is called Under What Circumstances Would Beyonce? And it's submitted by Clark Stevens from Durham, North Carolina.
Thank you, Clark.
Okay,
here we go. So, Kim, do you want to go first or last?
I'll go last.
Great. Okay, so, Mike, do you want to go first or last?
I'll go first.
Great. You're going in the middle, okay, Janie?
Perfect.
Here we go. So, listen, this game goes like so. Contestants will be given set circumstances in which Beyonce would not typically put herself.
Mm.
For this game, you must state the reason why she would be in such a circumstance. Most believable explanation takes the point. Manolo judges. Manolo, mm-hmm. Can we get a little theme song for Under What Circumstances Would Beyonce?
Sure. Easy. Under. Do, 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 do. Do 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 do. What circumstances? Do do
do do. I like how you're incorporating Beyonce's melodies in this.
Would Beyonce?
Do 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 do
do do do do do do do do do do do. Beyonce.
Wow.
That was gorgeous.
It was a medley of a lot of her songs that I remember.
I heard the references.
So, also, Manolo, I will say that you have kind of dropped the whole sound effects thing.
Oh, I'm backed up.
So if you want to get the sound effects back in there, okay. The werewolf of radio needs to, you know, really holler today.
Yeah, this is one, I saw a need for this one.
Okay.
It goes,
What is that, Manolo?
So, you know, like, if you're stuck in a, like, what's those walk-in freezers that have meat in them?
Oh, meat locker?
Meat locker.
If you're stuck in a meat locker with Paul Rudd, and you're trying to get him
what
to turn around.
What game is this?
This is Manolo Delight.
Oh, wow.
And, trying to get Paul Rudd to turn around in a meat locker.
What does he say again? Do it one more time.
Rudd.
I can't hear you all.
Kim, you doing okay?
Yeah, I can't hear you guys speaking.
What? Oh, no. That's insane.
Yeah.
We'll get you. We'll be louder. Okay, so here we go, Kim. You ready? We're going to play Under What Circumstances Would Beyonce. Okay, so here we go. First one, Mike Kelton. The first circumstance, eat corn in public.
Well, I know for a fact Beyonce would eat corn in public if it was for a charity event where people had to eat corn in public raising money for children in general.
Thank you, Mike Kelton. Janie.
The charity is for children in general.
Just people below the ages of 18.
Yeah, just the general
Janie,
circumstances.
Challenge?
So I can give my answer.
Yep.
I have the right answer. So she gets in a fight with Solange. It's all over the news. And her PR agent's like, listen, Beyonce, you need to come back down to earth for a minute. We need you to do something that feels real normal.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to a 4th of July barbecue and she gnaws an ear of corn. And they take a really filtered Instagram and she Photoshops it.
Oof. All right.
Wait,
okay.
What is she Photoshopping?
Her legs, like a thigh gap.
Oh, okay.
Kim?
Okay. Beyonce would be eating corn on the cob, I assume, not niblets, in public, because she was elected the Iowa Corn Queen.
Oh.
And she goes out there, and part of her induction ceremony is to eat a piece of corn on the cob while standing on the podium, and the crowds cheer.
Oh, my gosh. Manolo, what do you think is... Manolo, do you even know Beyonce?
Personally?
No.
Or who
she personally.
Is?
Do you personally know Beyonce?
Did you hear my theme song?
No.
Yeah, sure. She's on TV. Yep.
Okay, great. So, Manila, what do you think is the most realistic? Kim's answer, Mike's answer, or Janie's answer?
Oh, I have to know her enough to know the answers.
Yep.
I think that, I guess, she would something...
Charity for children, or a PR stunt, or she's the Queen of Iowa.
Oh, obviously, it's the
corn
queen.
Corn queen.
She's the corn queen.
Kim, you got the point. All right.
Yay, Kim!
Nice job, Kim. Okay, here we go. Next one. Under what circumstances would Beyonce wear blue jeans from Old Navy?
Oh.
Mike Kelton?
Okay. I'm going to say this is a trick question, and she would never wear blue jeans. From Old Navy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike Kelton. Janie, challenge?
I know the answer.
Uh-huh.
So she has an assistant who's probably like 40 more pounds than her and has a normal shape. And as a joke, when she's out of the room, Beyonce puts them on and then dances around and Jay-Z laughs because normal people are funny.
Thank you, Janie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kim?
Her child is being held hostage.
What?